From the studios of KXCI Community Radio in Tucson, Arizona, I'm King David McKenzie with the Unvarnished Truth. Here's some of how the world is treating itself today, the 29th of June, 2009. The Fox Noise Channel thugs have been concocting more calls for lynchings of public figures. Interestingly, one of the calls came on Friday at a location I know well from personal experience, Wausau, Wisconsin. Recent Fox Noise refugee Sam Wurzelbacher, also known as Joe the Plumber, got tanked up at something called Pints and Politics, a drinking party held by the Central Wisconsin Teabag Rally perpetrators, and called for the public lynching of Senator Christopher Dodd, Democrat from Connecticut. That after Ann Coulter went on Bill O'Reilly's TV show a week ago tonight to justify the assassination of Dr. George Tiller. Senator Dodd's prospective lynching was among three others that were endorsed last September by now-retired Colonel Jim Emmerman of the Full Gospel Chaplaincy, a Defense Department-certified agency, in that agency's official newsletter. The other targets identified were now President Barack Obama, now Vice President Joseph Biden, and now Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton. The reason Emmerman called for these murders? Obama, Biden, Clinton, and Dodd voted against a bill in the Senate that would have made English the official language of the United States. And this is not the first time he's pulled this crap. There's a video on TalkToAction.org on which he called for the lynching of President Bill Clinton in 1997. Although retired from the U.S. Army and a close ally of televangelists John Hagee and Kenneth Copeland, Emmerman continues to preside over that agency, whose active duty membership numbers over 720 chaplains in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard, almost 8% of all active duty chaplains today. Ironically, it appears as if the feds may finally be taking domestic terrorism seriously again. Back in 2004, somebody sent a letter bomb to Don Logan of the Office of Diversity and Dialogue in Scottsdale, Arizona, injuring Logan and two other people. At the time, the Bush administration wanted to brush the incident aside as if right-wingers were incapable of domestic terrorism, past Timothy McVeigh. Now, there's a new sheriff in Washington, and arrests have been made in that five-year-old Logan bombing. Dennis and Daniel Mahan of Davis Junction, Illinois, and Robert Juice of Powell, Missouri. The Mahans are infamous for their involvement in racist terror circles, including Thomas Metzger's White Aryan Resistance Group. Metzger's Warsaw, Indiana home was also raided by the ATF in the probe. Attorney General Eric Holder has told Congress that new hate crime legislation is needed in relation to violence relating to sexual orientation, gender, and disability. The attack on the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington by a Caucasian supremacist propagandist earlier this month was cited as proof that it is needed. As if more proof was needed, the Fred Phelps gang headed back to Los Angeles County this month for more of their homophobic picketing. This time it was to harass Fairfax Senior High School in West Hollywood because it voted gay male teenager Sergio Garcia to be the school's prom queen. The LA Times says counter-protests were scheduled as a fundraiser for the school's Gay Straight Alliance. The Phelps gang had traveled from Wichita, Kansas to Orange County in April to picket another high school's stage production of Rent. While in Southern California this time, they also picketed a Jewish temple and community center, as well as the Anti-Defamation League's Los Angeles offices. I still want to know who is paying all the Phelps family's gasoline money. It's obvious they're too stupid themselves to be able to maintain gainful employment. A federal judge has ordered Barber County, Alabama Sheriff Leroy Upshaw and Chief Deputy Ronnie Benefield to stay away from Benefield's daughter and her boyfriend after what the daughter says was a racially motivated assault. U.S. District Judge Keith Watkins on Friday extended until July the 6th an order prohibiting Upshaw, Benefield, and several named deputies from approaching Tara Benefield, 36, or her boyfriend Ray Charles McLeod, except on official law enforcement business. Tara Benefield says the lawsuit was filed after her father and other deputies raided her Barber County home on June the 1st and beat McLeod. Tara Benefield, who is white, said her father has been upset for years because she has dated black men, including McLeod. The set of the movie Morning Glory may be turning out to be hazardous to the health of its co-stars. Last week, the internet was abuzz in the wake of the deaths of Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett, with rumors that two Morning Glory cast members, Jeff Goldblum and Harrison Ford, had also kicked the bucket, rumors that turned out to be false. Now a third co-star, Diane Keaton, has been treated for a wayward blow to the head during the filming of a comic fistfight in New York's Battery Park. She's okay and already back on the set, but she was photographed being taken off the set on a gurney by EMTs, and that picture made the cyber rounds this morning. Walter Cronkite is on a death watch again. This time it's his family issuing the statement, not merely internet rumors. The former CBS News anchor suffers from cerebrovascular disease, which affects the flow of blood to the brain. And for some bizarre reason, somebody or somebodies have vandalized Ed McMahon's star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, blanking out his name with tar and torn newspapers. The star has been cleaned up since discovery. Yet more fallout over Howard Stern's leaving terrestrial radio 3 years ago, thanks to harassment from the federal communications corruption. One of Stern's three original syndication affiliates, WJFK in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Manassas, Virginia, is dropping its format of entertainment talk for an all-sports format, according to reports in the Washington Post. Obituaries over the weekend include one for Fred Travellina, the comedian and impressionist who was a staple of the talk and game show circuit in the late 1970s and early 1980s. He had been fighting non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and prostate cancer for the last 7 years. At his Encino, California home, he was 66 years old. And Gail Storm has died, popular singer and comic actor in early television. She played the title character in My Little Margie while putting out cover versions of early rock and roll tunes like I Hear You Knocking. Natural causes in Danville, California at 87. And Billy Mays, the pitchman, whose boisterous manner in television commercials annoyed many but sold a whole lot of OxyClean, was found dead yesterday. I never met the man personally, but I know several broadcasting types who report that they did, and to a person they also report that he was a really nice guy off the infomercial set. He had been conked on the head by falling luggage during a bumpy plane landing Saturday, but that was not related to his death. The autopsy says heart disease. His Tampa home at 50. Both the parents of Steve Mosco, the president of Sony Pictures Television, the company that distributes Columbia and TriStar Pictures films and TV series to stations and networks, have died within hours of each other. Charlotte Mosco passed away after a brief illness on Wednesday at her home in Bel Air, Maryland, a Baltimore suburb. She was 85. Then, on Friday, her husband Elmo passed away after a lengthy illness at the age of 86. The two had been married for 61 years, literally, as Paul Harvey used to say, on their way to forever together. And Godfrey Rampling, Britain's oldest Olympian athlete, has passed away. He was part of the 4x400-meter relay racing team that won silver at the 1932 Los Angeles Olympics and then won gold at 1936 at Berlin. He had just celebrated his 100th birthday at the Hertfordshire Care Home where he resided last month. One of his fellow celebrants was the award-winning actor Charlotte Rampling, who happens to be his daughter. And Hanna Hiob has died. Actor and daughter of the great German playwright and lyricist Bertolt Brecht. In recent years, she had been a strong campaigner against the resurgence of fascism in Germany and throughout Europe, often visiting schools to read portions of her father's writings as well as the last letters of Nazi concentration camp victims. For that work, she was awarded the Aachen Peace Prize 4 years ago. Munich at 86. If you have any material you'd like for me to include in the next few days, just email me at baronofarizona@gmail.com. That's baronofarizona@gmail.com. And please indicate where you're listening to this program from. Oh, and one thing more today. It must have seemed like old times for Bruce Springsteen at the 39th Annual Glastonbury Music Festival in southeast England on Saturday night. Springsteen's set ran for 2 hours and 40 minutes, which turned out to be 9 minutes past the legal curfew of 12:30 a.m. As a result, local officials fined Springsteen £3,000 for breaking the curfew. The fine was paid by festival organizer Michael Leavis. Of course, if you don't like this news, you always have the option of making some news yourself. In Tucson, I'm King David McKenzie. Until tomorrow, have yourselves some peace and oranges. ¶¶